Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. As an environmental scientist, I have researched non-native plant species on the sagebrush steppe in Idaho, long term for the research I did, and I will discuss that in length during this podcast show. But more directly, I would like to speak about vanishing native plants throughout the United States. There are a number of reasons why this is occurring. Where my farm is located, it is in the Sauerlands. My farm actually borders the Sauerland Preserve. One of the major problems is the number of white-tailed deer that are in the preserve. They are overgrazing and literally mowing down many of the native species of plants. This gives non-native plants an opportunity to compete. While competition in general, that's good, some invasive plants have methods of out-competing, and when I give you some examples, you're going to go like, holy moly, it happens that quick. Well, before I get into the specifics, I need to address the large number of white-tailed deer. Currently, there are 7 times more white-tails in that area than the area can support. The term ecologists use is called carrying capacity. Simply, this means how many animals of a specific species can an area support? Well, if you're interested in learning about how scientists determine if a specific species of animal is too high and should they be hunted and how they develop the length of hunting seasons, then you should listen to my podcast show number 72. The title is To Hunt or Not to Hunt. And that gives you both sides of the issue because as an environmental scientist, it is my job to educate. It's not my job to give you my point of view. It's my job to give you both sides of an issue and let you make a decision. This show today will give you the specifics about the vanishing plants. Well, if you want to go to podcast number 72, you might want to do that later on because there is so much more that we need to discuss today. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So let me give you an example of how an invasive species will outcompete a native plant. In the town I used to live in, there was a stream. It was called the Third River, but it was truly a stream. I used to walk the banks of the stream looking for native plants, trying to ID them, and of course looking for fish in the stream. There was an area that had jewelweed growing. And by the way, jewelweed is the natural remedy for poison ivy. If you have ever touched poison ivy, like you touch poison ivy, you identify, oh, I just touched that, and you go over to a piece of jewelweed and break the stem. The stem is actually fleshy, and it's almost like you see a little juice coming out of it. And if you rub it on the area, this will prevent the poison ivy rash. Of course, over the few years that I was going to the stream, I noticed the invasive species called Japanese knotweed was making its way along the banks of the stream. You can find Japanese knotweed on the banks of many major waterways in the East. So how can one plant outcompete another plant? The Japanese knotweed produces literally thousands of seeds where the jewelweed may produce 100 seeds. By the way, I have often described the seed dispersal of jewelweed as being inside a bowl of Rice Krispies cereal. And somebody going, what is this guy talking about? The seeds, so to speak, they explode. So in other words, the seed dispersal for them is to explode, to pop away from the mother plant. And when you're walking through, I'll call it an area of jewelweed, when the seeds are ripe and they are popping, you can actually hear like snap, crackle, pop. So it's like Rice Krispies if you ever watch the commercials of it. So let's do the math here. Thousands of seeds from the Japanese knotweed versus hundreds of seeds for the jewelweed? Well, by far, the Japanese knotweed's going to outcompete it. Well, let's go back to that area I was speaking about. I watched over the years how that patch of jewelweed is completely gone and it's replaced by Japanese knotweed. So here is one vivid example of how one invasive plant species takes foothold and the other native plant we're speaking about vanished. The next example I will give you is in the Sourlands. Now, there is the emerald ash borer. This is an invasive insect which is killing all of the ash trees. This leaves many areas open in the landscape. Competition for this space now begins. One of the plants that is out-competing native plants is the meadow rose. For you botanists out there, it is Erosa multiflora, the hedgerows on my farm, and they have not been controlled for many years prior to my purchase. They are completely covered with meadow rose, which has out-competed the wild raspberry. No, wild raspberry is not the name of a band. It's the great tasting berry that I love. I do remember growing up in a family farm, all the hedgerows, not here in the Sourlands, but in northern New Jersey. They just cover with raspberries, and you go out there and picking them. Well, here it's the meadow rose. Well, the raspberry plants, I still have a few of them that are mixed in with the meadow rose there. So I'm going to pull them out, propagate them in my organic garden. I will systematically replace one non-native species for a native one. This is going to take many years. So back to my research in Idaho. I will give you the short story and then discuss the competition. There was a fire, and it was on the grazing lands in Idaho years back. So there was a shortage of hay up there. The ranchers, they contracted with ranches from Texas and had the hay transported up to Montana. During this transport, some of the seeds of the native species of grasses of Texas, think about Texas now, it's a drier, hotter region in the country, and you had species of grasses that were very durable. Well, as the trucks were transporting the hay north throughout many of the states, some of the seeds blew off the truck. I guess you might say this is like man-made seed dispersal. Not in a good way. And the Texas grasses made a foothold in Idaho, Utah, Montana, and Wyoming in all of that landscape. They instantly began to outcompete the native grasses, and in a short time, they were taking over many of the northern grasslands. The sheep and cattle in Idaho, and this is, I think, just like an amazing piece of the puzzle, had a taste preference for the native grasses, and believe it or not, they would not eat the native grasses of Texas. So now all of a sudden you had them taking away native plants by what they're eating, the sheep and the cattle, and the native Texas grasses were able to get in there and outcompete the native, we'll call it Montanian grasses, but all the Idaho, et cetera, all of them. So now from Idaho back to my farm, I belong to the Sourlands Conservancy. Each year, they mail you a packet of native plant seeds. It's always a different plant each year. The request from the conservancy is that you plant the seeds so many of the native species can have a fighting chance in this competition. I believe it will be an ongoing battle, probably forever, to keep our beautiful native plants on their own home turf. This is one fight I am willing to take on. One meadow rose at a time. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.